Hello and thank you for downloading this week's edition of the Second Shift podcast. Now you'll notice that there's been a few changes around here as Wayne is a baker, he's no longer the host of the show. On behalf of the DSJMP network, myself and the Second Shift podcast, I'd like to thank Wayne for everything he's done for the show as our longest reigning host. You can still catch him on our sister show, the DSJMP Wrestlecast. However, in the spirit of wrestling, we'd like to wish him the best of luck in all of his future endeavours. But as always, the show must go on, and I am delighted to say that I have been given the fantastic opportunity to step into Wayne's shoes. However, I am addressing you with the bad news that we had various technical difficulties this week during the recording of the show. The first 10 minutes are of a substandard quality, however, please stay with us as it does improve. We felt that the content this week was too good to let the show go. However, please put your trust in us that we are working hard and have found a solution for future weeks. So that's the housekeeping over and done with. Now it's time to sit back, relax and enjoy the show as we bring you episode 36 of the Second Shift podcast. Hello and welcome to the Second Shift podcast. Do not adjust your earphones. This is Kai, not Wayne. Yes, Wayne has decided to step away from the Second Shift due to his personal reasons, but do not worry. The show must go on and I'm glad to have the opportunity to take over. And I have a great team of committed lads with me. So introducing first man, Ant the Vigilante.
How you doing, mate? You all right?
I'm doing fine, pal. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. You're just as short. So what we've done was, listeners, we picked the next shortest. So Kai was the one, weren't you?
Yep, I'm the next midget taking over. I'm no longer a git. I've got to be a midget. I think that's... I'm going to steal his gimmick infringement there. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this show. It should be good. Anyway...
Yeah, lots to talk about, mate. Lots to talk about.
Yeah, a lot. Now, next up, he's fucked your mum, he's fucked your daughter, he'll probably even fuck your dad. It's A.H. Walker. How you doing, pal?
I'm going to fuck you too, darling.
I was quite proud of that one. You doing all right?
Bring back Wayne. Bring back Wayne, I don't like you.
Hashtag bring back Wayne already. That's a brilliant start, isn't it? Is that it from you? Right.
Fuck you, man. I hate you.
Well, he hasn't been on the show for a while, but he has committed now in the new year. He's with us for the foreseeable future. It's the miserable one. It's Sam. How you doing, pal?
Woo, woo, woo.
Now, well, I hope you'll stay on the show a bit longer than Zack Ryder's was in the Royal Rumble this Sunday, but I'm sure we'll get into that. You're doing all right, pal? I hear your work has made you free up now on Tuesday night.
Yeah, for the foreseeable future, I'm free Tuesdays.
It's brilliant, but the question everyone wants to know is, have you brought the kazoo?
Oh, no, the kazoo's in the drawer. That last one didn't work.
Kazoos. You need a new instrument, mate, I'm sorry.
I still got mine. Don't worry about it.
Well, we're going to get straight on with the show this week. No one really knows that we have now moved to Tuesday nights. We're recording on Tuesday nights at 5:30 p.m. So that is when you need to get your emails in by. But because of us changing our time, we haven't got many emails this week from Aiden, which I'm
likes,
sure...
Like sniffles up his ass.
Well, he's been quite nice to you this week, I think. As he sent this last week...
I don't mean it horribly. I just mean that he likes nickels up his arse.
See, this is what confuses me about Ant, because he's like this with Daniel Bryan. He's always going in on him every week, but he says he likes him. Like, he's got some bipolar thing with everyone that ever talks to the show. It's weird.
It's a term of endearment.
I thought you said nipples.
I thought he said nipples as well, Sam.
Nipples?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ,
anyway, getting into cheerio, gents, and cheerio, Katie, if she's on. Well, she's not, but I'm sure she'll be listening, hopefully. He said that he wants to talk this week about our favourite entrance theme music, what it is and why. He says, mine is the Ultimate Warriors because it gets me pumped up, but I also love NWO's because it brings back cool memories. Since Ant is a musical genius, I'm sure he will hate my picks. Thanks for reading my email, and that's been my nickel, AA. So, guys, about our favourite entrance theme music. Now, they've been a big part of the industry for a long time, but what's your favourites? We'll start with Ant.
Obviously, well, I agree with AA, Ultimate Warrior. Obviously, I'm from that era because I'm an old bastard.
Yeah.
So Ultimate Warrior, you know, was the one. He was my favourite guy at the time. So I was a little kid, so definitely Ultimate Warriors. But I also loved Million Dollar Man's back then as well. That was lovely.
Yeah. You see,
Money.
Well, that was awesome.
Obviously, I'm not even from that era, and those, you know, those are two iconic tunes that I can just get into my head straight away. And yeah, they pump you up. It's true what they say. You know, it's the old warrior pump up. But anyway, we'll move on to Walker. What are some of your favourite entrance themes?
Edge, definitely. The Rock. And Kane, when he had the little pop of band thing going on when he was heel, 2003-ish. I thought that song was pretty cool. I still have that on my iPod. Thank you.
Yeah, good one. So, Sam, what about you?
I was Triple H 2000 era, soaking the front row with his spit. More recently, I liked the live ones at WrestleMania. Bray Wyatt's last year, I thought was awesome when it was performed live.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, more I remember that. And the year before, they did the Cult of Personality CM Punk one live as well. And I remember that one being really cool and really good to watch. But that was one of my favourites, you see, from the modern era. The Cult of Personality one, it just clicked with CM Punk straight away, straight after that pipe bomb. It fit his character to perfection. Have any of you got any more entrance themes that you've thought of?
You can't talk about entrance themes, firstly, without talking about Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
You know, the absolute legendary theme tune. But obviously my favourite, one of my favourites, was Venus. Hello, ladies.
Of course.
Yeah. What about Macho Man as well? I thought you were just about to say Macho Man. I like Macho Man's theme.
I weren't over on that one, to be fair.
Really? Yeah, that'd be one that you'd like.
Land of Hope and Glory, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but that's...
I thought the NWOC music was pretty cool. And when Hulk Hogan had Voodoo Child, well, that was pretty fucking decent. But that's it.
And Triple H is from 5 or 6 years ago. Called Throne. Gear on. That's pretty cool.
Right, so now we're going to move into the quiz, and I believe, Ant, you've got a brand new quiz for us tonight.
Yes, I do. It's called HIQ Positive, or HIQ.
That's good, I like it.
I was trying to get HIV into a thing, but it just wouldn't work, so instead it's Hayes's Intelligent Quiz, HIQ Positive. Now the premise behind it is that you can finish with positive points or you can actually finish with negative points. So it's pretty similar to games we've played before.
Oh, brilliant.
It's pretty similar to Killer. But if you get a wrong answer, you actually lose a point. Okay? And you won't get eliminated from the game. Understand it?
Yeah, sounds good.
Cool. Right. So who wants to go first?
I'll do it. I don't mind.
Okay, Walker. Let's go first. Are you ready to play?
HIQ Positive.
Let's go, baby.
Okay, right. In this round one, I want to know... This is a Raw Rumble quiz, by the way, guys. I want to know host cities of any Raw Rumble. Just give me a host city that's hosted a Royal Rumble, please.
Well, I'll go with yesterday's one, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia is correct.
Woo, woo.
Sam, would you like to give me a host city for a Royal Rumble, please?
New York was 2000.
Yes, it was 2000.
Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. It was 2000. It was 2008 as well on there. You could have had that there. And I'm out in Albany, New York as well, because it's in the same state. So, okay, Kai, I want a host city for a Royal Rumble, please.
This is what I'm always shit at. Right, Toronto.
Toronto.
Yeah.
Of course, my friend. Let's go with that. I'm going to have to say that's wrong, to be honest. Because it was in Hamilton was the official thing. I need Hamilton. Sorry.
Right.
You're now minus one. Back to you, Walker.
Can I say Hamilton or nah?
No, because that's gone now.
Oh, balls. Chicago.
Chicago, Chicago. I haven't got Chicago on my list.
Oh, AIDS?
Sorry.
Right.
No Chicago. You're back down to zero. Okay. Sam?
I think last year was Pittsburgh.
He said Pittsburgh. He was in and out, but I heard him say Pittsburgh.
He said Pittsburgh, did he? Pittsburgh was last year, so he's now on 2 points. And Kai, back to you.
Orlando.
Orlando is correct. That was in 1990, so you're back onto nil point.
Yes.
There you go. Right, we're going to go one more round on this one. So, Walker, give me a host city, please.
What have we had so far, so I don't say anything?
We've had New York, Hamilton, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia.
Oh, shit, hold on. St. Louis, because I remember Randy Orton being there, and you got the biggest pop of the night, so yeah, St. Louis.
Correct, that was in 2012, I believe. So you're now on 1 point. Sam?
Bang, bang!
Trying to think of cities. Detroit, have they done one?
They have. They done one in 2009. So you're now on three points. And Kai, back to you.
Miami. Sticking with Florida.
Miami 2019-91, I believe. Okay, let's move on to round two of the quiz, and it's going to be about world heavyweight title matches. Now, I just want WWE title matches or WWE world heavyweight title matches. No WCW bullshit, all right? Okay. So, Walker, give me a match between two gentlemen, or three gentlemen, for the title at a Royal Rumble.
Can I use last night's as an example? Or do we strike that from the record because it's really easy?
I'm striking it because it's just a little too easy.
Alright, then I'll use CM Punk versus The Rock.
CM Punk versus The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that not...
Don't tell me that's not true, because that's fucking true, mate. Don't even try and skip me on the point on that one.
Are you sure that wasn't for the...
No, mate, no. Fuck off. Don't take the fucking piss, mate.
Alright, I'm joking. Yeah, alright. You get a point.
Yeah, you damn fucking right, I get a point.
Alright, Sam.
I'm sticking with my 2000s, so Cactus Jack, Triple H.
Yep. That's correct. That was in 2000, exactly 2000. Well done. You're now on 4 points. Kai?
The first time I really started liking Ziggler. Ziggler versus Edge.
That's what heavyweight. That's what heavyweight.
Oh, is that not counting?
Ziggler versus Edge. I haven't got that down, mate.
That's a world heavyweight championship match, I think.
Oh, fuck. I thought we were doing them. Well, that's made me a fool of myself.
So you're actually now back down to naught.
Oh, right. So, that's fine.
So, Walker, back to you. Give me another one.
CM Punk versus Dolph Ziggler. That's also fucking true.
That is fucking true, because that was in 2012, which is fine.
Let's fucking go. Boom.
Right. Sam?
I'll go 99, so Mankind versus The Rock.
Oh, he's good, isn't he? Sam's doing very well on this quiz. Kai?
Oh, you know, I've had a...
Kai?
Yeah, oh.
What is?
I'm here.
I'm here.
I'm here, sorry. I was on mute. Jeff Hardy, ooh. Randy Orton, the one where he got screwed out of it by Matt.
Yep, 2008. He's on a point. Right, we'll do the last one for this round. Okay. Walker again.
John Cena versus Edge 2006.
Correct.
Boom.
Sam?
2002, Jericho against The Rock.
Correct. And finally, Kai.
I feel like a twat because I can't think of any. I've had a complete mind blank, but at least it proves that I don't cheat. Sorry, nothing.
Nothing at all?
One sec. I'm trying to think of old DVD covers. JBL and Big Show had a steel cage match, but I think that might have
that was No Way Out.
Oh, fuck, right.
I think he faced like Booker T or Kurt Angle at that Royal Rumble.
Can I just jump intervene and say you're two-thirds right?
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Hold on. And Kurt Angle as well. Oh, shit. Sorry, that's your number.
Anchor,
my fault. Just give me the fucking point, you know.
2005. There you go. So
I should have kept my mouth fucking shut, man.
Okay.
Was there one year where the Rumble was for the title match?
Yes, that was Ric
Flair. Yeah, Ric Flair. Yeah.
Oh fuck! Why did I not say that?
Well, yeah, that was Ric Flair.
It was on the network a few days ago. That's why I know so many of them. So they're saying how the title don't normally change hands at the Rumble.
Are you finished?
Yeah, sorry.
I'm just going in on you.
Right, let's go on to the final round, round three. And that is, before this year's event, guys, I want, there's 10 to number one of the most Rumble time. So most time spent in a Rumble by a superstar combined. Okay, before this year's event. Now, Walker, I'm going to start with Kai because you're in last place on two. So I'm going to start with you. So do you understand the question?
So it's most time combined. So it's not like just in one
match. Not in one match. Over their careers. I want the top 10. So just one of the top 10.
Yeah. You know, I'll go with who's been in the longest in one match. Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio is not in the top 10, I'm afraid. So you're now back down to 1 point. Okay, Walker, back over to you.
I swear they said it in the like fucking hype up videos for the Rumble that Triple H has got the longest one all time, so I'm just going to say Triple H.
Triple H is in there, but he's number three.
Oh, long!
So, Sam?
I'm going to go Kane.
Kane is your number one.
Yeah.
Fair.
Kai, back to you with your 1 point.
Michaels.
Shawn Michaels is your number two.
Yes.
Walker?
Fuck. Chris Jericho. Oh, I don't know.
Chris Jericho is your number seven.
Oh, fuck. All right, then. I'll take that.
Sam?
He wasn't in many, but he'd spent the whole of the 99 one, I think. Austin?
Incredibly, Stone Cold Steve Austin is not in the top 10. You lose the point. And that's just literally turned tables between Walker and Walker and Sam. You're now both on 6 points. So, Kai?
Big
Show's your number four. Walker?
Randy Orton?
Randy Orton's your number five.
Let's go. Bang, bang.
Sam?
I'll go... shit. Batista, maybe?
No, you're losing another point.
Fuck.
Right, let's do one more round of this, because there's four more to get, so we'll go round the table one more time. So, Kai, back to you.
It won't be Cena, will it?
John Cena, did you say? Yeah. Yep.
Well, oh, I was going to say that, motherfucker!
Okay, Walker, this could basically win you the quiz. There's three more guys to get. Two of them are fairly obscure, and one of them's fairly obvious.
Oh, God. Right, hang on. Who's been said, then, so far, so I don't trip up?
Out of the top 10, you've had number 1, Kane, 2, Shawn Michaels, 3, Triple H, 4, Big Show, 5, Randy Orton, number 7, Chris Jericho, and number 9, John Cena.
And John's only number 9, man. Fucking hell.
Yeah. He's been in a lot of championship matches at Rumbles, though, hasn't he?
Hulk Hogan.
No. You lose a point. You're down to 6.
Ah, dicks in your mouth!
You're down to 6, which means, Sam, if you
Hulk Hogan, man!
If you get this right, you actually tie, and we're going to end up we're going to end up with a tiebreak situation, okay?
Oh, can I change my answer? I've got an idea. I've got a better question. Never mind. Too late.
No. Sam, this is for you to join, to draw the quiz and then go through to a tiebreak question, which we haven't had for fucking ages, a tiebreak question. So, Sam, what's your answer?
I'm going to go for the obvious one, but yeah. I don't know how many times it's been in. Undertaker?
Boom, we're going tiebreak.
Fuck, that's what I was going to say, and I went with Hogan.
Undertaker's your number 10. Number 6 is Goldust.
Can I guess the other one?
I said Jericho.
He was number 7.
Oh,
it was actually Viscera was number 8.
Oh, Viscera, fuck me.
So there we go. Right, tiebreak question. Okay, boys, you ready? I want to shout your name out as soon as you want to buzz in, okay? And I'll go to the person first, all right? And if that person gets wrong, it'll go over. So what was so special about Mick Foley at the 1998 Royal
Rumble? Walker. He used all 3 of his gimmicks.
And they were?
Mankind, Dude Love, Catch a Chair.
Well done, Walker. You have won the quiz.
Thank you very much. Bang, bang. I shake your hand, Sam, but I don't respect you as a human being. Also, I can't do it with Scott, can I? So.
No, I'd rather you didn't. So there you go. That's the quiz. Guys, for the week, a Royal Rumble special quiz for you. So there you go.
Right, that brings us into our special focus for the week, and of course that is the Royal Rumble. And we've got a very special treat for you. Due to the AWWIR not being online this week, we have the man who brings groundbreaking linguistics, GBL, dropping his Royal Rumble recap. Take it away, Jeebs.
What is up? Dana Cannon and the Week in Review at your international icon. Mr. Pay-Per-View, GBL here with your Royal Rumble pay-per-view recap. And the official theme song of this year's Rumble is Gonna Be a Fight Tonight by Danko Jones. And we're live from the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The commentators are Michael Cole, JBL, and Jerry Lawler. Match number 1 is the New Age Outlaws versus the Ascension. The Outlaws are out first, cutting their usual promo. The Ascension are out next, and the bell rings. Billy Gunn starts off with Victor and drops him with a shoulder. They run the ropes, and Gunn hits a big hip toss and takes Victor down again. Gunn keeps Victor down with an arm lock, and a "You Still Got It" chant breaks out at Billy Gunn. Road Dogg comes in, and after a brief offense, the Ascension takes over and double teams him. Connor with a big knee to the head for a one count. Connor keeps Dogg down with a headlock now. Dogg fights to his feet, but Connor hits a big back drop. Connor misses a big running elbow as Dogg rolls out of the way. Dogg ducks a clothesline, and Gunn finally gets the tag. He unloads on Victor. Connor comes in, but Gunn tosses him to the floor. Gunn with a tilt-a-whirl slam on Victor. He decks Connor, but misses a famouser, and the Ascension hit the Fall of Man for the pin and the win. So your winners are the Ascension. Bit of a short match and not really enjoyable. I don't know how much this helps build the Ascension, but it is what it is, and I gave it a 6 out of 10. Match number 2 is the WWE Tag Team Title match. Damien Sandow and The Miz versus The Usos. We go to the ring, and out first comes Mizdow. There's a huge pop for Sandow. WWE Tag Champs The Usos are out next. Miz starts off with Jay, and he's worried too much about the crowd. Uso fights back with big chops. Miz comes back with knees, but Jimmy tags himself in and comes off the top onto Miz for a 2 count. Uso works over Miz in the corner now. Miz turns it around and hits a running clothesline in the corner. Miz goes to the top, but Uso knocks him down. Sandow climbs up to the other corner and plays the role of the stunt double as the fans cheer. Back and forth, Jimmy gets sent face first into the second rope and goes down. Miz keeps Uso grounded and teases a tag to Sandow, but the fans boo when he won't make it. Miz hits a neck breaker, but Uso blocks the backbreaker. Uso misses a Samoan drop and Miz drops him with a backbreaker for two. Back and forth, Miz nails the skull crushing finale for a close two count. He works over Uso as the fans chant for Sandow. Miz runs into a big super kick. The match continues. Miz takes advantage and runs back up for a superplex, but it's blocked. Jimmy tags himself in and super kicks Miz into a top rope powerbomb from Jay. Jimmy nails a splash from the top for the pin and the win. So your winners and still tag champs are the Usos. A decent match, which is basically a 2-on-1 since Miz never tagged in Mizdow, but it is what it is, and I gave it 7 out of 10. Match number 3 is the Bella Twins versus Paige and Natalya. Brie and Nikki make their way out first. Nikki's leg is no longer bandaged up. Natalya is out followed by Paige. They get separate entrances but walk to the ring together. Natalya starts off with Nikki and they go at it. Brie tags in for a double team move. Brie picks up and goes to work on the arm. Natalya fights back and tags in Paige. They hit a double suplex but hold it for a minute before dropping Brie. Paige crawls on top of Brie and covers her for two, then hits a series of headbutts. Back and forth before the Bellas keep Natty down and do some quick tags. Natty powers up with Nikki on her shoulders and slams her back. Nikki stops a tag and goes for a submission, but Natty turns it into a sharpshooter. Match continues with the Bellas continuing to work on Natty, who can't tag in Paige. Natty gets to her feet, but Nikki drops her with a big forearm to the face for the pin and the win. So your winners are the Bella Twins. A fairly decent Divas match, which is all we can ask for, right? 7 out of 10. Match number 4 is the triple threat match for the WWE World Heavyweight title. Seth Rollins versus John Cena versus Brock Lesnar. John Cena is out first, then Seth Rollins is out next to a big pop, and finally the champ, Brock Lesnar. The bell rings and Rollins goes to the floor. Lesnar takes Cena out with a German suplex. Lesnar stares down at Rollins. Lesnar with another German on Cena. Rollins runs in, but Lesnar stops him. Stooges make the save, but Lesnar dumps both of them on their heads at the same time. Cena goes for an AA on Lesnar, but it's blocked. Cena gets sent to the floor by Rollins. Lesnar drops Rollins and goes to work on him. Lesnar with a German to Rollins and then hits another German to Cena as Heyman smiles and the fans cheer. Lesnar takes it to Cena, then Rollins, maintaining control of the match. Lesnar drops Cena in a Kimura lock in the middle of the ring. Cena tries to power to his feet and he does, with Lesnar still attached. Rollins springboards in and nails a knee on both Cena and Lesnar at the same time. Cena and Rollins then double team Lesnar with a double suplex. Cena hits an AA on Lesnar. Rollins tosses Cena out of the ring and covers Lesnar, but gets a one count. Lesnar manhandles Cena as they go to the floor, and Rollins sends Lesnar into the steps. Cena and Rollins end up in the ring. Fans boo as Cena hits his usual comeback moves, and the crowd continues to boo. Match continues back and forth. Cena dodges a curb stomp and goes for the STF in the middle of the ring. Rollins crawls to the ropes until the Stooges make the save and attack Cena. We see EMTs bringing a stretcher out for Lesnar. Rollins calls for a triple powerbomb on Cena and they nail it. Rollins covers Cena but he kicks out at 2. More back and forth, Rollins nails a big enziguri and a curb stomp, but Cena kicks out at 2. Rollins goes to the top and hits an awesome corkscrew 450, but as soon as he lands it, Lesnar runs right in and nails a German on Rollins, but he lands on his feet. Rollins hits Lesnar with the briefcase twice. Rollins puts Lesnar's head on the briefcase for a curb stomp, but Lesnar catches him in mid-move and turns it into a big F5 for the win. So your winner, and still WWE World Heavyweight Champion, is Brock Lesnar. An excellent triple threat match which could be a candidate for match of the year. The action was intense, non-stop, and most importantly, it made sense. Everything you want in a world title match, and I gave it a 9.5 out of 10. Match number 6 is the Royal Rumble 30-man elimination match. We go to the ring and the Miz is out first at number 1. Second is R-Truth and he comes out rapping and they go back and forth. Miz dumps out Truth, but he lands on the apron as number 3 enters, and it's Bully Ray Dudley making his entrance. Dudley hits the ring and unloads on Miz. He hits a big elbow to the head and a scoop slam. Truth watches from the top rope. Dudley then holds Miz's legs while Truth does the what's up headbutt. Miz gets eliminated as Luke Harper is in at number 4, and then Truth gets eliminated by Dudley. Harper and Dudley come face to face before trading shots. Harper blocks the Bubba Bomb, but gets dropped with a clothesline after some back and forth. Bray Wyatt is out. Harper and Wyatt double team Dudley, and he's eliminated. The next man out is Curtis Axel, but Before he can hit the ring, Eric Rowan attacks him and lays him out in the entrance. Rowan hits the ring and is apparently taking Axel's spot. All three go at it, but Bray eliminates Harper and Rowan. Next out is the Boogeyman and he makes his entrance. Wyatt yells that this is his world. They taunt each other, Wyatt turns upside down and then clotheslines Boogie before tossing him out, and the Boogeyman's eliminated. Wyatt just waits next as Sin Cara comes in and he springboards in and hits a series of kicks. He comes off the top, but Wyatt decks him with the right hand, nails Sister Abigail, and Sin Cara is out, eliminated. Zack Ryder comes in and after brief offense hits the Broski boot but is thrown out by Wyatt, who's looking strong at this point. Daniel Bryan comes in at number 10 and they go at it. D-Bry with three corner drop kicks. Next man out is Fandango with Rosa Mendez. Fandango hits the ring and unloads on Bryan, and Fandango with a drop kick. As Tyson Kidd enters, Kidd and Bryan collide in midair and both are down as Stardust is the next man in. Bryan and Kidd go at it. Bryan backdrops Kidd to eliminate him. DDP hits the ring and scores a bunch of diamond cutters before Rusev comes in and nails him with a kick. Rusev then eliminates DDP and Fandango. Bryan gets sent to the apron but hangs on. Wyatt runs over and knocks Bryan off the apron for his sixth elimination. Fans boo as Bryan is eliminated. Goldust is out next. Next man out is Kofi Kingston and the fans boo the New Day music. More Daniel Bryan chants. Next man out is Adam Rose and he's got the Rosebuds with him. Kofi leaps out onto the Rosebuds and they catch him. The Rosebuds surf Kofi around the ring and put him back on the apron. Rusev eliminates Adam Rose and the Rosebuds aren't there to catch him, so Rose is gone. Rusev goes at it with Kofi and eliminates him also. Next man out is Roman Reigns. There's lots of boos as Reigns makes his way through the crowd. Reigns runs in and gets attacked by the Dust Brothers, but he ends up eliminating both. Big E is out next, and that doesn't stop the boos. Big E goes to work on Rusev. Rusev counters and sends him to the corner. Sandow is out next. Miz tries to stop him entering, but fails. Sandow hits some offense, but Rusev tosses Sandow out of nowhere, and fans boo. The Miz is upset as Sandow plays the stunt double roll again. Jack Swagger is out next to a pop. He runs in and takes out Rusev. Then Wyatt as Ryback enters. Ryback with the meat hook clothesline on Rusev. Kane is the next man out. Kane decks Ryback, then Reigns, then Rusev. He nails Ryback again and tries to dump him over the top. Next man out is Dean Ambrose to a big pop. Ambrose rushes the ring and unloads on Kane. Wyatt grabs Ambrose, but Ambrose comes back with a big clothesline. Titus O'Neil makes his way down talking some trash, but is immediately eliminated by Reigns and Ambrose. The next man out is Intercontinental Champion Bad News Barrett. Barrett hits the ring and nails Big E, then Ryback, Kane, and then Barrett with a big slam on Ambrose. Next man out is Cesaro, who hits the ring and has uppercuts for everybody. Ambrose grabs Rusev and works him over. Next man out is Big Show. He hits the ring and everybody jumps on him. Show powers out and sends everybody flying. Show splashes Rusev in the corner. Show chokeslams Reigns. Kane and Show eliminate Ryback at the same time. Kane sends out Rusev also. Dolph Ziggler gets the final spot. He unloads and eliminates Barrett. Cesaro hits the Cesaro swing on Ziggler. Ziggler comes back and eliminates Barrett. Big Show knocks out Ziggler in midair as he comes off the top. And then Kane and Show grab Ziggler, tossing him to the floor, and Ziggler is eliminated. Show tosses Wyatt out next and he's eliminated. It's down to Reigns, Ambrose, Show and Kane. Kane and Show toss Ambrose to more boos. Kane and Big Show go at it back and forth, allowing Reigns to come in and eliminate them both. So your winner is Roman Reigns. After the match, Kane and Big Show attack Reigns until The Rock makes the save, and the show goes off the air with pyro and Reigns posing with the WrestleMania 31 banner hanging in the background. Despite the crowd's obvious love for Daniel Bryan, the promotion has decided to go with its hand-picked babyface, Roman Reigns. He's a promising talent, but he's nowhere near ready for the main event role, and the Royal Rumble was its usual mix of current roster and some surprise returns. I can't say I'm ever disappointed in a Royal Rumble match, and I gave it a 7 out of 10. So there you have it, Royal Rumble is in the books. With the exception of the world title match, the rest of the card was pretty middle of the road, but I gave the Royal Rumble a 7.5 out of 10. And with that being said, this is your international icon, Mr. Pay-Per-View, GBL, sending it back to Dan the Cannon for the rest of the week in review. Stay classy, Impact Nation.
So all of you have had a chance to see the Rumble now, I presume? So, right, well, I'll tell you what, we'll go around the group and in one word describe your feelings towards what just happened on Sunday night. One word. And Walker, it can't be the word that I know you're about to say just because you want to say it and want to make my edit.
Enjoyable. I enjoyed it. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Content.
Sam?
Deflated.
You see, that's really, really interesting. The change there in how everyone's feeling. So this is going to be a very, very interesting topic. So we're not going to do a breakdown of every match because... So what we will say, though, is the undercard, what are your thoughts? Walker, what was your favourite part of the undercard, not including the title match and the Rumble itself?
Oh, I was going to say about the title match. I had a slight wank during the Divas match because Paige and the Bella Twins, so I'll go with that. And I like the pre-show match with like Cesaro and Kid against whoever the fuck they were facing. I forget who they were facing.
Yeah, that's they were against
the Gia, wasn't it? Oh no!
Oh yeah, new.
Oh yeah. And I enjoy that quite a bit because the crowd were really into it for like two teams of fucking jobbers, you know what I mean? I think that's the biggest reaction I've heard for a Tyson Kidd match in time.
Yeah, that Philly crowd were really on.
They were on some shit, man, as evident during the Rumble itself, mate.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll get into that more later. Ant, what were your favourite part of the undercard?
Of the undercard? I didn't really watch much of the undercard. I only watched the World Heavyweight Championship match and the Rumble. So I didn't actually watch the undercard, to be fair.
Alright. Well, we'll forget that we've just asked you that then and move on to Sam. Sam, what did you think of the undercard?
To be honest, I've watched it, but you don't take much notice of it because you're there for the Rumble, aren't you? That's the event. If you look at the undercard for, you know, the past 20 odd Royal Rumbles, it's not spectacular. It's just kind of there to get you warmed up to the Rumble, which is the why everyone's there.
Yeah, I got to admit, I didn't get through a lot of it without fast-forwarding because, you know, it's not the bit that's interesting. I wanted to know, I didn't want to get spoiled as to, I wanted to watch the end of the Rumble and the title match in order to not get spoiled by someone, you know, message me on Facebook and get back to, you know, getting back into normal life. But anyway, so we'll focus now on the world title match. Did you guys enjoy it? Walker, we'll start with you.
Match of the year contender, as far as I'm concerned. It's going to be up there with one of the best matches. That was fantastic. Like, I don't think I've enjoyed a triple threat as much as I have since Joe, AJ, Daniels from TNA in 2005. That match was absolutely fucking fantastic. I watched it twice. And no, I watched it three times when I watched Raw today. This match was crazy. Brock Lesnar is, for a guy that only does like three different moves, he puts in a good fucking performance every time. Seth Rollins clearly was the man of the fucking moment. And it was just going not to see him win after all the fucking effort he put in. Fucking crazy match.
But I tell you something, the reaction that they gave Seth after the match, you know, he had a pretty much standing ovation. It was really interesting to see that the cameras stayed on him to see him get that standing ovation. Because none of the cameras were on Cena, they were all on Seth. Because they knew that he did a standout performance in that match, and it was really thoroughly deserved. Do you have a special spot in that match that really stood out to you?
Either the elbow drop through the table, because it kind of looked a little bit like hasty. As you seen, like how Shane McMahon and CM Punk and Shawn Michaels done it, that kind of looked a little bit like, uh-oh, this looks kind of weird looking, but it looked nice anyway. And then when he did the Phoenix Splash, definitely. Or when Brock Lesnar just fucked both of the J&J security with the German Suplex, I thought that was pretty dope as well.
That was fantastic. Yeah, I loved
it. Crazy. Right, fantastic fucking match.
What did you think of the title match? Do you think that the right guy won it, and you know, do you have any favourite spots out?
Definitely
of that
the Phoenix Splash. Definitely. Overall, it was a 4.5 out of 5. It was everything. It had everything. It was a really, really good match. And yes, the right guy did win. As much as I'd love to see would have loved to have seen a cash in afterwards. That's sort of my own enjoyment. But other than that, it was pretty damn near on perfect. It was a fantastic way to whet your appetite for a Royal Rumble, and the crowd should have been absolute on fire by then. But we'll later find out that, as Philadelphia crowds usually are, they're quite angry.
Yeah, the Phoenix Splash especially was a highlight, because, you know, no one saw that coming out of Seth Rollins, because, you know, it's something that he's kept, he said on Raw last night, he's kept hidden away for the time that it's needed, and it shocked everyone. I was listening to the DSJMP commentary from Sunday night, which you can find here on the DSJMP network.
Trending Topics network as well.
And yes, the Trending Topics Trending Topics network. As soon as I take over from Wayne, I start tripping over all my words. That's what happens. But yeah, it was their reaction to that was just fantastic. You just heard them all. They were all out of sync of when they were watching it, but you just heard them all and Vamp going, "Whoa, oh my God!" You know, it was absolutely fantastic. Yeah. And yeah, I personally believe the right guy won with Lesnar, and I think Seth's time is coming, and everyone in the back is behind him, possibly more than Roman Reigns now. Sam, what did you think of the match, and have you got any favourite spots that we haven't mentioned yet?
I'm not going to add too much more to what's been said, really. It was by far Rollins' best performance in ring, I was half expecting a cash-in, which made you watch it right until the end, until Rollins and Brock actually walked up the ramp. I think the right person won in the end, but I wouldn't have minded Rollins to cash in. But I think once Brock pinned Rollins, it was obvious that wasn't going to happen without a massive surprise.
I mean, has anyone? I don't think you have, Sam, but I'm presuming the other two have had a chance to see Raw from last night. Then I know you have, Walker, because that was all building around this feud mainly, and the Seth Rollins and Lesnar standing off together, and Lesnar just has really given it to Rollins, that Rollins looks absolutely fantastic, stood next to Lesnar, and they seem like they're nearly in the same league, which is something that we'd never thought we'd see from Rollins at this point. Has anyone else got anything to add to the world title match?
Seth Rollins is the next Shawn Michaels, and everyone can see it. Everyone can see it now. He's that big of a superstar. He will be that big of a superstar. And maybe the fact that he, out of the three amigos that they were once in, you know, out of the Shield, he's the one that's probably going to have the biggest career.
Yep, and that's something that I called last year. I know Dan the Cannon called it as well, because when we were doing the listing of who out of the Shield and the Wyatts were going to be the most popular, I said Seth Rollins, but I actually pictured him as a babyface.
Which he will be one day.
Interesting enough. Oh, yeah, and he's going to be a massive babyface, a la Shawn Michaels, as you said. Anyway, we'll move on now to the big match tonight, the Royal Rumble match. Right, shall we get it out of the way first and talk about the ending? Do you agree with the ending and who won?
Of course I do. Of course I do. We fucking knew it was going to happen 3 months ago. What are people expecting? We knew it was going to happen.
I think people thought that it would be more of a surprise with Brian coming back, and that he would be... I think the most problem with it. And no, hear me out, because I am just being, you know, a devil's advocate here and saying people were, the fans or the IWC are saying that Daniel Bryan, they were expecting him to be further into the show and get further into the role.
Yeah, they got it out of the way.
Like you said, yeah. Do you think that it was a brilliant idea to get him out earlier than ever and get the fans pissed off?
Yeah. I don't see why they're pissed off.
It would have. I think it would have gone down better had it not been in the fucking place where Daniel Bryan cut his teeth and he's got a big ass fan base. like any of those kind of like places where you're going to have like more of a smarky crowd, you're really setting yourself up for kind of disaster, really. And as it's fucking proven, because they fucking shut on the Rumble as soon as he was out, man. They weren't having any of it. Like I agree with it personally. I didn't see it coming myself, so I was happy. Well, I was kind of happy. Well, he was my pick to win the Rumble, kind of. I was kind of happy to see him get eliminated, kind of early-ish. And it's not all about just the Rumble and who wins the Rumble. He's not going to get to Mania, man. You just got to fuck. He saw on Raw that he's the kind of planning the seeds for his next fucking step. Yeah. So you all should stop fucking bitching, Philadelphia.
Yeah. Philadelphia, this goes out to you. There's a record, a very famous record, and it goes like this. It goes, you can't always get what you want.
Yeah.
There you go.
The second shift.
The problem with today is we're the fucking most impatient breed of humans that have ever existed on this earth. I want a burger, go to McDonald's. I want sexual relief, watch the internet. I want to control my telly. I'll tell you what we need to do, and this goes out to WWE, because I might pitch this to them, because I think they'll fucking go with it at the minute. I'm changing the name from WWE back to the WWF and call it World Wrestling Factor. Now, hear me out. What we'll do is, every week, we'll have numbers on the screen, and you say, who's going to win the next match? And you can vote for who you want to win the next match. Because that's what, clearly, all these fans want. They want pure creative control themselves. So what will happen is, WWF, the new WWF, are going to get fucking rich. And then all the trolls are just going to be moaning at each other, because if they didn't get what they wanted, they can only blame each other. I'm going to pitch that to the WWE, because I think it's a fucking awesome idea. Simon Cowell and Vince McMahon be wanking each other off. That's the way forward. WWF again.
And I'm sure the World Wide Federation will have no problem with that.
That's the only flaw you can pick in it.
Yeah. I guess when Bryan got eliminated, I kind of felt like the same way I felt when Undertaker's streak ended, in the way of like, oh my god, this could get a really, really shit reaction, but this is fucking fantastic, because now, it was just last week that I turned around and said, I kind of want Roman Reigns, although I really wanted Daniel Bryan to win, and you know, I'll go out and admit that, I kind of wanted Roman Reigns to win just to see whether he would get a bad reaction like Batista did last year. But anyway, Sam, what did you think of the ending to the Royal Rumble? Did you agree with Roman Reigns getting the win, and how did you react when Daniel Bryan was eliminated so early on?
Well, firstly, I weren't too bothered about Daniel Bryan getting eliminated. I don't think he was going to win it. The timing's really irrelevant, I think, if you're in the Rumble. You know, it don't matter if you're out 29th or out 10th. In terms of the ending, I don't mind Reigns winning it, but I think the bit where I was a bit deflated from it was the Final Four. I just think there were people that could have benefited from being in a Final Four rather than Kane and Big Show. I'm just fed up of seeing them, to be honest. Kane in that white vest, it's just horrendous.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's kind of got to the point now where I was thinking to myself, it wasn't the fact that I'll say my bit now, because it wasn't the fact that Roman Reigns won when I wanted Daniel Bryan to win that pissed me off about this Royal Rumble. I just kind of felt on first watch, and I have only watched it once, so I've got to go back and watch it again, that it just seemed to be a bit badly booked the further on it went. I don't know if anyone agrees with me, but I just felt like people were being underused, and there were so many quick eliminations.
Yeah, it picked up pace. Mm. It certainly picked up pace, the rate of eliminations, certainly.
The quick eliminations and people just coming out and getting thrown out before they're even, you know, before their entrance themes came off. And it just felt very, I don't know whether it was a lack of star power,
but you know,
I'm really,
it was
sure.
A pretty decent Rumble though, to be fair. There was a couple of good surprises in there. It was nice to see Bubba Ray Dudley back. There were some nice surprises. It wasn't a bad Rumble. Could they do better? Yes, of course they fucking can. We can all do better in everything we fucking do. It's not never going to be perfect. But if you can't expect a result 3 months prior and then fucking piss and moan about it when it actually happens. That's just ridiculous. If just fucking, and I bet it's only a, out of the 20,000 people there, there was probably what, 200-300 people that were giving it the most big one, weren't they? Because apparently there was like 2-3 guys outside stopping all the cars.
Yeah, I heard about that.
You know, I mean, it's just 2 or 3 idiots. You know, so I think...
Yeah, knobheads that make everyone else, that put a bad name on wrestling.
You know, I'm a New York Giants fan, so I know what fucking Philadelphia are like. They're a bunch of douches, so, you know...
Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a sidestep now. We'll come back to this a bit later on, but... The biggest surprises of the night, there were a few this year, maybe not as much as some Rumble matches in history, but what were your favourite surprises? Let's start with you, Warren.
Oh, got to be Bubba Ray, all day. I grew up during the Attitude Era. He was in the middle of him and in the three-team feud with the Hardys, and then the seat, and then just seeing him come out there, I was like, oh my god, motherfucker! Because I thought he was going back to TNA at some point, but obviously not. Seeing him, that was fantastic. Fuck you, Bray Wyatt, for getting rid of my homie like that.
Brilliant shape as well, really good shape. Ant, what did you think when Bubba Ray came out?
Sorry?
I said, what did you think when Bubba Ray came
out? Yeah, I'm really, really excited about that. I'm glad he's back. I'd like him to be back with D-Von, but that's another thing. I thought he might have come out in the Rumble, to be fair, but I thought he might have come out straight after Bubba, which would have been quite nice, but there you go. But it's interesting that Walker says about Bray Wyatt clearing him out, because that was my best moment of the Rumble of the entirety. I just think, well, no, Bray Wyatt just clearing a ring, having time to pull a Stone Cold Steve Austin, have time to pull a promo. I just thought that Bray Wyatt is coming out of that Rumble looking strong as hell.
I haven't seen someone like that since CM exactly. Punk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, real talk.
Exactly.
And look at how well he did after that. Have you got any of other big surprises there? Oh, sorry, Sam, we didn't go to you there. What did you think when Bubba Ray came out? Were you glad to see him?
I was glad to see him, but not glad to see Bubba Ray Dudley. When he left, I wasn't that bothered. But the character
Please leave the premises.
You can't expect him to turn up as Bully Ray.
No, I know, but I think they could have done more to separate him from the person he used to be.
It all depends, because at the moment it seems like it's just a one-shot deal. I think when he signed, and I do believe he is going to sign a contract, if D-Von isn't coming back with him, then they'll have chance to change him into, you know, a more Bully Ray-orientated character.
Here's a question. In singles, where does he fit? You know what I mean? Because he doesn't really fit anywhere in that roster currently with the current superstars that WWE have got for me.
Do you think that he can provide a rub to anyone?
But who?
That's what I'm asking. Do you think that he could provide a rub to anyone?
I don't want to see like a Jericho. I was going to immediately say Bray Wyatt, but I don't think Bray needs it, especially after the fucking Chris Jericho one. So, you know, sometimes when you get a rub, it's not a nice rub. And you know what I'm talking about.
Hey!
First show of hosting, and we're already onto a knob gag. Right. and it went from Walker. Right, so favourite spots of the night. Ant, you've knocked on your favourite spot of the Royal Rumble match we're talking here. Walker,
okay.
Your favourite spot in the
Royal Rumble? My favourite spot is just an expert showing of trolling by the WWE. When Bryan got eliminated, the next entrant was Goldust, and his theme's called Shattered Dreams, and I thought that was just ironically appropriate.
I had not noticed that until now. I'd not thought about
expert
that.
Expert trolling. So thank you to that one, WWE, you absolute dicks.
Sam, what are some of your favourite spots of the Royal Rumble?
A couple. DDP, didn't expect to see him there.
Jeff Jarrett, you mean? Yeah.
And I thought when all three Wyatts were in the ring together, that was probably one of the best moments of the Rumble match.
Yes.
But I think they could have done that so much better, because they could have done the whole... It looked like Rowan and Harper were going to turn on Bray, but then they all just kind of kicked the shit out of each other.
Yeah, that was nice. They could have done that.
They could have done a thing there where they kind of built up on Bray and sort of came together. But, you know.
Yeah, it was a great moment. I think they kind of shot themselves in the foot by making Eric Rowan out of the Raw Rumble match on SmackDown, didn't they? Because he wasn't actually even a competitive member of the Raw Rumble. Curtis Axel still claiming that he's never been eliminated and that he should be going on to main event WrestleMania.
I think a lot of people would prefer that at the minute.
Yeah, I think I could see that trending next time that Roman Reigns is in the ring, to be honest. But DDP,
Jeff Jarrett.
And were you happy to see him?
Yeah, we weren't wearing a Bullet Club top, though. I was disappointed by that. But apart from that, yeah, it was good to see him.
He hit a lot of diamond cutters, which was... the one thing I was waiting for was I thought that would have been the perfect time to bring Randy Orton out. But, you know, it's not to be, apparently.
Well, that was one of my biggest disappointments. I didn't actually get to see Randy. You know, I'm a big fan of Randy Orton, so I would have really liked to have seen him, but...
Yeah, I was very shocked that Randy didn't come out, and Sheamus as well, actually. Mm. But Walker, what did you think of DDP? You a fan of him being there? Nice nostalgic moment?
I'm not really a fan of WCW personally, but I did catch a little bit of him, like his feud with The Undertaker, so it was pretty decent to see him. You know what I mean? I don't mind it. And he's in tremendous shape for a guy that's like almost 60, so I will give him that.
He was really old when he started getting into wrestling, wasn't he? He was in his 40s or something, so, you know, he's doing really... He looks good. I'm trying to think of who else... What other surprise entrances...
What did you think about Ziggler coming in at 30?
I had forgotten that it was... personally, right, I'd forgotten that Ziggler hadn't come out yet, and I was sure that number 30 was going to be The Rock. That's how my mindset was going. And then Ziggler came out and went, oh, right, so Rock's not going to be in it then. And then I realised he was going to... And that kind of gave away some sort of ending for me, because I thought, well, then it means Reigns is going to win, and because, you know, they're related or whatever they are. But what did you think, Sam, about Ziggler coming out at number 30?
Yeah, I was the same as you. I was trying to think who's going to come out at 30 and totally forgot Ziggler was even in it. I was hoping it wasn't going to be Sting, because Triple H and Steph did that whole thing about this isn't WCW and all that, and Sting's not allowed in. But yeah, then it was kind of a, oh yeah, I forgot about him sort of thing when the music started and out it came.
I think that would have pissed Philadelphia off even more. The fact that he'd come out at 30. Oh my god, there! It weren't Brian, but that's fine. Now it's going to be Ziggler! No. They mugged them right off.
I still wish it had been what me and you talked about, Ant, last week, and have Rey Mysterio come out again at number 30. that would have been absolutely fantastic. I'd have just loved to have seen it. That's like a slap in the face of going, you can't always have what you want, and you know what, we don't give a fuck. Thinking of other surprises that happened in the match, trying to think...
Boogeyman was in there, wasn't he?
Boogeyman, yeah, that's the other one, because I remember Wayne was saying on the commentary earlier when I was listening to it that he didn't realise that... He was saying, why is Boogeyman smashing a clock over his head? And I'm thinking, you never watched at that point, did you? Because it feels weird for me as a child watching, you know, child, young teen, seeing, well, child actually, seeing Boogeyman and all the worms and the banging the clock over the head. That's like my Doink the Clown, basically, you know, that sort of weird character.
Doink the Clown, you know.
Well, for you old people anyway.
Fuck off. I remember the Boogeyman.
Who else was there? There was Kofi's big spot.
That was kind of wank in comparison to everything else.
That's what I was thinking.
In comparison to everything else that he's done, just getting caught by a bunch of fucking crackheads and then just getting and then just getting kicked off the fucking rope anyway, just like dead.
They should have just dropped him.
I did find it funny that they caught Kofi and then they started walking off and they missed Adam Rose. which was very, very funny. But I think one moment that we haven't talked about was the Mizdow and Miz moment. It wasn't what we were all expecting to happen, because the big consensus between us all was that Miz was going to get eliminated, and Miz Dow wasn't going to get, you know, wasn't going to follow suit and eliminate himself. But what did you think of how the Miz Dow Miz dynamic worked? We'll start with you, Ant.
Well, they sort of nipped that in the bud pretty early, didn't they? That there wasn't going to be any sort of turn.
Well, it's the start of the turn, though, because Miz Dow went into the ring, didn't he? Because Miz wanted to take over, and then Miz Dow went in anyway. So I'd call that, you know, a nearly turn, at least.
Yeah, that's called a tease. I said WrestleMania, man.
Is that when it's going to be the big turn?
That's when I think it's going to be.
Do you not think it'll be a match by then?
What?
Do you not think it's going to be a Miz versus?
I think the card for WrestleMania, a card's not big enough like to put people like Miz Dow in there.
Yeah.
You know, you need your proper A plus players. So it's either going to happen in the
Andre the Giant.
Yeah, either in the Andre the Giant or in the Fatal 4-Way Tag Match, which they seem to do every year now as well. So I'd say it's gonna happen around that sort of time.
Yeah. What do you think, Sam? Did you enjoy the Miz Dow Miz moment, or do you think it could have been done better? And when do you think the big split is going to happen?
Okay. So starting off, I love Miz Dow. Yeah, they did do a little bit of, you know, will Miz Dow turn on Miz eventually? It's hard to tell when they'll split, though, because they did a few times. You've got points in tag teams like Shield and Wyatt's where you think they're going to split, but then actually they don't, and they kind of go back on it. Like when the Shield were arguing and that, and you thought maybe this is the breakup of the Shield, but then they just stay together for another few months. So I think it's hard to tell when they will break those two up. Because I think while Miz Dow's still getting massive cheers, I think there's still a story there for them to be together.
Yeah, that's true as well. Walker, what do you think?
Well, that might be a WrestleMania, post-WrestleMania thing. I don't think it's really... I think it's merited enough for a match on the card. Because, quite frankly, once you split these two up, I think they're both going to be less interesting. So I don't think that's a Mania match to me, personally. But I'm looking forward to see how it progresses from here, really.
Okay, then. We're going to move back now to talking about how the WWE fans reacted again. Oh, actually, no. First, we'll touch on The Rock, because The Rock, obviously, was supposed to be a big moment, and he didn't get the reaction that I think he was expecting. There was a pop, and then it started to fizzle out as soon as he started getting anywhere near a ring, let alone raising his hand. And what did you think about when The Rock came out, and do you feel that that has helped or hindered the situation?
I think, I know it was planned, but there's something in my brain thinking that had Vince McMahon in the back going, "This ain't going fucking well! Rock! Rocky! Get out there! Get out there!" You know, it's just something in my brain. I'd love for that to be the case.
And, I would love that.
I love you.
It's so backfired, didn't it? Yeah, you could even tell there's a picture like of Rock's face, just like, oh shit. But yeah.
Apparently, I was reading a report earlier that The Rock was pissed off at the Royal Rumble event because of the way that the fans had reacted to it, because apparently he'd warned WWE that he'd warned Vince that if it was booked the way it did, then they'd be getting the same reaction as last year.
Bullshit.
And then they go, well, that's a report that I've read. I have no validity to that report. To be honest, I don't particularly believe it myself.
I read a similar report today that said The Rock sucked Vince McMahon off backstage. So, you know, swings and roundabouts.
I'm sure you can find anything on Lords of Pain, can't you? Right. We'll talk about how the WWE fans reacted, because obviously Philadelphia was very upset with the ending of Roman Reigns winning, and they really showed it. Do you feel that this was a worse sort of reaction than the Batista ending last year, and do you think that it could have been avoided? Walker, we'll start with you.
Could have been avoided if you swapped it to a different city.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, like you putting it in Philly was possibly, well, I wouldn't say it's the worst kind of idea. I wasn't expecting Roman Reigns to be booed so heavily upon entrance, but yeah, if you put it in a city where like the fans aren't as fucking aggressive, then it would have been fine. And I think it was very smart of them to bring notice to it on Raw. I think that was, like when they did a little interview with Roman Reigns, I thought that was pretty fucking smart of them, because you can't have something that fucking drastic appear and then just like not make notice of it. So
they're calling it the most controversial Royal Rumble of all
time.
Absolute
bollocks.
Okay, that's a bit of a reach.
That's what Michael Cole referred to.
Oh, of course he was.
So he's WWE now jumping on the bandwagon thinking, you know what, we can fix it, we did it last year, but you know what, we don't need Daniel Bryan, we're just going to... Sam, what do you think of the WWE fans being upset? Do you think that it could have been avoided, and do you think they're right for being upset, or do you think they should just... let the WWE get on with making the product?
No, yeah, they got no right to be upset. Well, fucking hell. Basically, every single fan that would have booed the other night, I bet we'll watch Raw the next night to see what happens. That's what you do.
Yeah.
If you're pissed off at something, you watch it and think, you know, is this going to change tomorrow night? You can't always be right about things. You can't have the hero winning all the time. Otherwise, people turn off because they think, oh, well, such and such is going to win because it always happens. What is it that controversy causes, creates cash?
Creates
or something?
Cash.
Yeah.
You know, that's it, isn't it? That's what it's about.
It's really interesting because apparently there were reports going around that the WWE Network's cancellation page had actually gone down because so many people were trying to get onto it.
Literally about 2 seconds ago, I got an email from WWE saying they've just passed 1 million subscribers. So
yeah, exactly. And then I've read a report earlier today saying that the WWE aren't really that bothered because there wasn't a significant enough number of cancellations, actually.
Again, completely hearsay. I heard it was about 250.
it was trending on Twitter. However, anything can trend on Twitter. Look at The Rock, right? He goes out there on Raw on any night and he can make anything trend on Twitter. We could get Ant Sucks Cock trending on Twitter if we really, really wanted to.
and it would be a very true fact.
Yes, it would.
Got all these fans now, they complained about cancelling the network. A year ago or 18 months ago, they were paying twice or three times as much to watch it. So,
exactly.
Why?
The UK fans just got it. And we just got it free.
And I was going to say, I've only had it 2 weeks. I ain't cancelling it. Yeah. Wait a year for it.
I know it's a bit of a sidestep, but I am absolutely loving the WWE Network. Back and watch the last six Royal Rumble matches in like backwards order, and I'm loving it. The fact that I'm getting it so, and I've started watching so many from the R Evolution.
Good boy.
And you know why it is? It's because I finally got it in a convenient space. I'm able to sit there
like
a
fat bastard.
I can sit there on a night, take my sleeping tablets and fall asleep to it, and it's brilliant.
Are you empty? I can have a tablet, I'm going to have my tablet, and I'll sit down, I'll put jelly on, and I'll fall asleep. Do you have a Horlicks as well?
Yeah, I have a Lem Sip, actually.
Oh, I have a Lem Sip.
And a Werther's original.
Can I just say, right, I'm done with my negative and pessimistic bullshit going forward on wrestling. Like, the Royal Rumble has proved something to me. The fact that I've not actually got a problem with the product, I've got a lot of problem with the fucking trolls out there that bitch on the product. I think that's my main concern with wrestling. And I'm going to focus all my hatred on them little trolls. Because it's just bollocks. For every bad thing is going to get exemplified by 100 good things. That's just the way the world works now. It's just the way the world works. I thought the Royal Rumble was actually a very, very solid Royal Rumble. The World Heavyweight Championship match was fantastic. It's well worth £15 pay-per-view, which is what we used to pay. It was absolutely fine. It was absolutely fine. The problem was the crowd. They should have moved it to a different city, and you wouldn't have had this fucking upheaval at the moment. You just wouldn't have had it. If it wasn't in Philadelphia, even if it was in fucking... You'd probably get it here. If it was here, you'd probably get it here, because we're quite a bullshitty, smarky crowd. Should have been somewhere like San Francisco, or, you know, somewhere where it's a decent, nice, child-friendly crowd. That's what you should have had. But they shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah, we're not blaming Philadelphia, because we know that we would have done the exact same thing, most likely. But that's because we're that sort of market.
I blame Philadelphia.
I wouldn't have done the same thing.
I think it was Philadelphia's fault.
Because I know it was happening.
I'm not saying that we personally wouldn't do that, but I think our market would do that.
Oh, I think certainly if it was in London, yeah, you would have had a very similar reaction, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, Dan the Cannon's put out a tweet earlier today, I don't know if any of you saw it, saying, whether you tell yourself wrestling's great right now, or you tell yourself it's god-awful, either way, you're right. Hashtag goggles. And that's true. It's wrestling is good if you tell yourself it's good, and it's going to be shit if you keep telling yourself it's shit.
Yeah, but the people that are saying it's shit are, like, really passionate on that. And they love the product. You must love it. If you're that passionate and angry, you must love the product.
Yeah, and if you can walk away from something because of a predetermined result, I'm sorry, but you're not passionate enough to want to even want watch wrestling anyway.
See, the thing is, right, if it was a real sport, like, sometimes the predictable answer's unpredictable, if you know what I mean. I don't think that's coming across quite well. But sometimes... In sport, let's go boxing. Floyd Mayweather, right? I'll go to watch a Floyd Mayweather fight. I know he's going to win, right? It's predictable, because he's like a superhero. Roman Reigns is being pushed as that superhero. So isn't that a good thing? I'm not really stating this quite well enough, but I should have written it down.
They're trying to find a new superhero to take over from John Cena. And because they realise that John Cena isn't going to be around forever. Us fans and the IWC have been clamouring for a new superhero for a long time. And as soon as we get one that's here, everyone goes, no, we don't want that one, we want that one.
Yeah, I want that one. I want that one.
We will never want what the WWE wants to give us. The nearest thing that the WWE have, you know, that we've both agreed on, that WWE and fans have agreed on, all for pushing, has been Seth Rollins. That's the only thing that there seems to be the people, you know, that all the fans and, you know, the guys in the back agree on being the future of the industry. And if we get behind Roman Reigns, it'll mean that there's less chance that they'll be relying on John Cena forever.
Yeah, or is it the fact that people just don't want another John Cena? But, sorry, WWE... You'll always have someone like that to sell your merchandise. I was living in the day of Hulk Hogan. Did I love Hulk Hogan? No, I didn't, because I was an Ultimate Warrior fan. But everyone else, a lot of people did, because he's your face of the company. You have to have that for business sense. And people don't understand that. They want their own cravings. It's either my way or the highway. Well, fuck off then. You know what I mean? I can't be doing with the crowds at the minute and these silly little internet trolls just shitting on everything for no reason. Guess what? If you talk shit all the time, you're probably because you're full of it. Now fuck off.
Right then.
Talk that shit. Let's go.
So, Walker, have you got anything to add to that?
Nah, I think you pretty much knocked it out of the park.
Sam?
I can't follow that, no.
You know what, Ann, I think you have just summed it up perfectly, and I'm glad that you have summed it up like that, because you know what, when I first watched the Royal Rumble, I was a little bit pissed off that Daniel Bryan didn't win, and then I thought to myself, I were actually talking to Legend, and then he mentioned something to me, and I thought to myself, you know what, why the fuck am I complaining? What's the point in complaining? Why don't we just get on with it, move on, and concentrate on Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar? Some young guy who is getting a chance to do what Brock did in 2002 with The Rock. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. And I think it's great that we are all being positive now and we want to move forward, because we don't want to be the wrestling fans that are giving wrestling a bad name.
No.
Would you all agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. But you know what's going to happen, Kai. Over the next few weeks, we're going to get... How are we going to get Bryan into the triple threat match at WrestleMania? How's that going to happen?
I still think he can be... Before Rumble, I would have been saying he should be in the title match. But he's not now. So let's move on. Let's find somewhere else on the card for him to be. And I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve to be in the main event. Because you know what? You know, I would have liked to seen him in there. But he's not there now. So let's get him somewhere else. Where would you put Bryan on the card?
He's still upper echelon, isn't he? But I'd put him in a feud with Bray Wyatt. Because it was almost they hinted at it at the Rumble.
Well, he eliminated
But I think there's legs there. I think there's definite legs there.
Well, Walker, you just said that you would like to see that. Sam, would you like to see that? Walker versus Bryan? Bryan versus Wyatt?
Yeah, no, there's still credit in there, isn't there? It ended sooner than it maybe should have because Bryan was obviously going to WrestleMania. So I think there's definitely something still there between those two. To be honest, when those two are in the ring, you know something's going to happen and it's going to be something you're interested in watching.
The only thing with that, though, is that Wyatt is rumoured to be going up against Undertaker.
Oh!
No!
Would you guys not want to see that?
No, he's done. No. He's done. Watching him when I was 7 years old.
Bryan versus Undertaker. Now, that sounds interesting.
That's a better fucking... That's much better fucking... Yeah.
They won't work together, I don't think.
I don't want to see Undertaker. I want to see people like Rollins and Ambrose and people like... I want to see the new blood come through! I don't want these old has-beens coming back again. Undertaker, thank you everything for everything you've done for us over the years. There has to be a time when you're like, done. He's lost a streak, done. It's got to move on. We have to move on. We've got to progress. Rollins, people like that, come on.
And you know what? That's probably what the Royal Rumble has done now. It's started to progress Roman Reigns into that upper echelon. And whether people like it or not, he seems to be the chosen guy. And we'll see over the next few weeks whether he can hang with the big boys. And if he can't, then WWE will have to be rethinking their choices. But he's the choice they made. So as fans, I think we've agreed tonight we should get behind that decision and, you know, help them get him into that next level. Has anyone else got anything to add about the Royal Rumble or this week as a whole before we end the show?
No. Pretty solid week, though. Pretty solid.
Sam?
Did any of you watch the Rumble live streaming off the network?
No, I didn't know.
No.
If anyone has the list, just email in. I'm just wondering if there was any streaming issues, because I didn't watch it live. So.
I heard about a few streaming issues. I don't know. Walker, did you hear about any?
No, I didn't.
You see, we will look that up after the show, and we might talk about that next week. Get in touch with us. You can get in touch with us at Second Shift Pod on Twitter, or secondshiftpod@gmail.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the show this week. We're going to go around, and you can all say a bit. Walker, where can we find you?
@AH_Walker on Twitter.
That's great. Oh, you sounded a bit
fucking
tired
happy there,
aren't
he?
Sorry, I just yawned, didn't it?
It's fine. Ant, where can we find you?
You can find me at MC Vigilante. You can also find me on the Trending Topics Network on Cerebral Satire or occasionally on the WrestleCast, where I troll them by being really drunk.
Yes, and I still really, really want to hear that episode, but it doesn't sound like it's ever going to see the light of day.
It was quite embarrassing, but, you know.
I would love to hear it. And Sam, where can we find you?
Twitter, Samuel_WBA.
That's brilliant. Thanks, guys, for being on the show this week and being really supportive with my first show in charge. I'm looking forward to the opportunity of taking this forward. You can find me on Twitter @HWIR. And until next week, goodbye, guys.
Thanks for listening. Bye.